good news of Jesus comes to us in the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about it. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd of his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Knees and toes. All right, there we go. We've got to stand up and do it. Our eyes, but we don't have to cry. the second lesson today from the book of James, the apostle who was writing, particularly wanted to talk about our tongue. I don't know if you can stick your tongue out far enough to see it, right? I can't stick my tongue out of you because that would be bad. The physiology book says that tongues are made up of four sets of extrinsic muscles and four sets of intrinsic muscles. But when James was writing about the tongue, he didn't care anything about that because he wasn't worried about what the tongue was made of. He was worried about what comes from the tongue, what comes out of our mouths. And he said, the tongue seems very, very small when compared to our whole body. But the tongue can do some powerful things. And he compared it to three things. He said, it's like a little metal bit that you put in the mouth of a horse. It might be that big, but if the bit's in the right place, you can move that bit and it'll direct that whole horse, whole great being, to wherever you want to go. And then he mentioned a big ship. Have you ever seen a big ship? The back and the bottom, there's a little piece called a rudder, and that rudder moves back and forth. He said that little rudder, even though it's small compared to the great ship, can guide the ship in a direction. And then finally he said, it's like a little spark. We've been hearing about a lot of fires out west in different parts of the country. Now, a great fire that could ruin hundreds and hundreds of acres of trees could be started by just one little spark. And all of a sudden, it turns into something terrible. James wrote about that because he wanted to remind us that with our tongues, this wonderful gift that God has given us that enables us to eat, speak, and taste, with our tongues, we might be able to say one little thing that has a great we might say something that hurts their feelings, or turns their good day into a bad day, or makes them feel like they're not very special. And all of a sudden, that one thing that's come out of this small little thing in our mouth and tongue can turn a whole person's life into a bad day or a bad day. He said, our tongue, God gave us for a purpose. And it wasn't to do damage to other people. Our tongue God gave us for a purpose, to give praise to God and to bless God. And it reminds us that every human being, look around this morning, look at all of us here this morning, every human being was made in God's image, the scripture said. And he said, think about this. If we say something bad or hurtful or negative, someone who was made in God's image, then there's no way we can be saying that to give praise to God for what we made him. Because we are all made in the image of this wonderful God. In today's Old Testament lesson, the prophet Isaiah says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher. We may not realize it, but every time we open our mouth, others hear it, and we end up teaching them something, whether we know it or not. We end up teaching them something by the words we say. And so when you say words to each other, in school, at home, in our family, or in a crowd, or when
Hey, God.
How wonderful that sounded with all these unique voices. And God's listening to hear your voice. Because God is always there to hear whatever it is that's on our hearts, on our minds, whatever it is that we're struggling with each and every day. God's ears listening for us. How beautiful is that? So finally, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus calls on his disciples and uses of this the body parts as well. Their voices and their ears and their minds. He may not mention each one specifically, but he actually refers to it. He looks at them and he says, "Tell me with your voice, who have you heard people say that I am?" The disciples tell him what they have heard with their ears. But then, more importantly, he says, "I want to hear your voice answer another question. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And then the rugged fisherman, Simon Peter, answers with his fisherman voice and says, "You are the Messiah." Say that real soon.
You are the Messiah.
Those may have been the most beautiful words that ever come out of Fisherman Peter's mouth. This confession that Jesus was the one sent by God to bring the hope to the world. But Jesus does a little strange thing. He says, "Be quiet. Hold your tongues for a little while. Don't tell anyone about that, because I need you to listen. I need you to listen to something important I have to say." And then he tells them what it means to be God's Messiah. That Jesus had come and was going to Jerusalem, and there he would suffer and be killed and die on the cross, and that God would raise him from the dead. And in doing that, he taught us a very important lesson. He said that to be God's chosen one, to be the Messiah, didn't mean to come into the world to get a bunch of stuff for himself, get all the glory and worldly things he could, but it meant he was sent into the world by God not to get, but to give. To give every part of his body on the cross so that we might know that God loves us all forever. And that is what God has sent Jesus to do. First time the disciples heard with their ears what it meant for Jesus to be God's chosen one. We are reminded of that every Sunday when we get to touch and taste and hear and see the bread and the wine, and hear the beautiful words, the body of Christ given for you. And you might know Christ is just a fancy Greek word for Messiah. So when we say, "Body of Christ given for you," it's a reminder of who Jesus was. That God sent Jesus, the Messiah, to be one who would give everything. Give his entire body, head, shoulders, knees, toes, eyes, ears, mouth, nose. Give all that on the cross so that we might be loved by God and know God's love forever. Now this weekend here in our church, along with a bunch of other churches all across the land, is called God's Work Our Hands Sunday. So people have some bright little shirts on that say that. God's Work Our Hands. And that's very important because it reminds us of the last thing that Jesus said in today's gospel lesson. He said, "If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves and pick up their cross and follow me. So it is, as followers of Jesus, we have a very important and holy calling. Lord Jesus invites us to do is to pick up our cross and follow Him. And just as Jesus stretched out His hand on the cross to show God's work of love for everyone, Jesus invites us to stretch out our hands, maybe not on that type of cross, but on another type of cross, to stretch out our hands and give God's love to everyone, no matter who they are. Take your hands and make a cross with you. Think about cross-shaped hands. Wherever you go, wherever you are every day, at work, at work, at school, wherever it might be that any of us are, you live with cross-shaped hands. Not because you're always holding them like this, right? But because they're hands that have been shaped by the cross. That means they're there to share God's love with others. Now, this morning, that can happen a lot of ways. This morning, there were people over in the kitchen that had cross-shaped hands because they were using their hands instead of having a meatloaf mixture with gloves on. But giving that a meatloaf mixture and mix it all up and put it in the oven, right? Yesterday, there was some people with cross-shaped hands out in the parking lots and grocery stores, and they were collecting pudding cups and applesauce and other things for backpacks and food for students who need food on the weekends. Then yesterday, there was one of our men had cross-shaped hands holding on to a bus steering wheel because he was driving a church bus to take youth to a youth event. And you never know when those cross-shaped hands may show up. Those cross-shaped hands may show up one day this week when you look at somebody around you and realize they're having a or someone's used a tongue to say something bad about them. And you reach out with a cross-shaped hand and put it on their shoulder and say, forget about all that. You are special and God loves you. And you pat them on the back and give them love. Or you might see someone at school who's kind of off in the corner, or at work who's kind of by themselves and know that something's going on in their life. And you reach out a hand, a cross-shaped say, hey, let's sit down and talk a little bit. Or maybe you even grasp a hand and pray with somebody. And that's a beautiful caution. So as followers of Jesus, all those things we have are shaped by the we have cross-shaped ears to listen to when people are hurting. We have cross-shaped eyes to see the world in a different way, just like God sees everyone as God's child. Have cross-shaped hearts to feel the love of God and share with others. Hopefully we have cross-shaped tongues to say good things to others and affirm to them that they're God's children and let them know about Jesus. And above all, we have cross-shaped hands so that God's word can still touch people's lives with hope every day. Every day. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes, eyes, ears, mouth, and nose. All of us shaped by the cross to share God's love. I pray that will be something.